Blog Talk Radio.
The Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go in there?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good. I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
No, I'll just grab something now.
Over me. He changed my life, and now I'm free. Jermaine is coming at this time.
You're not. hear you.
Okay.
Okay, don't show again. God,
I don't know what you mean. Ask yourself to use the last button. If you want to maximize your screen without using it, don't show yourself again.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
So you say about it.
Senator, add yourself back and use the layout button.
Uh-huh. Okay. So now what?
Shadow.
You see a shadow? Okay.
Where?
Look.
Now go here again.
Right here?
Uh-huh. So that's what you want. Go here. Let's do something. Okay, see, it's just like, that's crazy. So it's like it's a computer. Okay. Miss Linda, I don't know what the problem is, but you may not see her. So I'm just going to remove her from the stream. We can see you. Can you still hear us, Miss Norma? I really don't.
But Linda, we can go ahead and continue as long
yeah.
as they can hear me. They
yeah.
can see you. They
yeah.
don't have to see me.
Right.
So I'm going to go ahead and interview you, and you just do what you do, and I'm going to interview you, and we're going to go on.
Yeah.
So you want me to let it show me, right?
Yeah.
It's showing
you, and you're not frozen. You're moving. We can hear you really good.
Okay.
All right, we're going to go on. But now, Marva, do we know if they can hear me? Do we know?
They can hear you.
All right, here we go, audience. Remember, y'all are my co-hosts, and y'all are going to help me get through all this technical stuff that can happen. It's called, what is that called? Navigating by the seat of your pants, I think they call it. So we're going to... We're going to do that today, and our Wendy Williams co-host out there in the beyond, they're going to help us through. Okay, Linda, now here is a comment from Deborah Henry, and it says, Linda Ragsdale Sanders looks beautiful and is presenting a powerful interview. How about that?
Oh, that's my best girlfriend, Deborah. Oh, thank you, Deborah.
Oh, great. So there is a world out there. There
yes.
is a world out there. Wonderful. Commercial break. Audience, you can go to www.texasmetronews.com and click on the Wells Fargo ad, and you can win your own special iMessenger t-shirt or a business card ad for 3 months. And also, if you have a comment or a question, you can call 646. Okay, I had to pause because there's a noise going on, and we're trying to figure out. Oh, and it just stopped. The noise just stopped. So that's one victory. As we go, okay, you can call 646-200-0459, or you can put your comments in the chat like Deborah Henry just did, and you can put your comments in the chat, and we'll just move on forward. Now, okay, Linda, I was asking you, and I don't remember if you had finished answering that or not, but that poem was so expressive and had so much
to the event that you know that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because women from biblical times all the way up have played major roles in different areas of education, been doctors, judges, housewives.
Okay.
And basically, the women have carried the load.
Okay.
We have so many tasks to perform. And tasks that you tell her bloodshed and tears. And they keep going. And that's what's important.
They overcome and they keep going. With you in your mentor role, I'm sure that the next generation and even our current generation will be inspired by those words, because you, as a female supervisor in the Dallas County Sheriff's Department, and having made it up to that role after being with that department for 30 years or more, I mean, just to be able to say that you stayed with the job for 3 decades and made up to that supervisory position, that says a lot about what you are made of. Let me ask you this before we move to the next part of our discussion. Some people may be wondering, did I miss here? Are you and Diane, former Dallas City Councilwoman Diane Ragsdale, are y'all related?
Oh, yes. Diane Ragsdale is my aunt.
Okay.
Built around the corner when I was a child.
Okay.
First, my aunt Diane Ragsdale resides as a state.
Okay. Okay.
Diane was my mother's past sister.
Okay.
And so Diane was not only my aunt, but she was my mentor, very inspirational. She was very inspirational to me, and I love me some Diane.
Very good. Well, we got that clarified. So, like I said, some people may have been wondering. Now, let me tell my co-host. You can't see me, but we can see Linda Ragsdale Sanders, and that's with her lovely self. And so that's the main part. So don't freak out, co-host, when you see a black screen. You see my name. I'm off in there somewhere. But we're focusing on Linda Ragsdale Sanders, and she just presented a powerful poem. Tell us the name of that poem again that you just shared with us. Okay, now for the next part of your life, besides the poetic part, you also had some involvement with a beauty pageant effort. Miss Juneteenth, can you share with us what that was about, and when was that in your life, and what was that all about? Miss Black, let me get the name right. Miss Juneteenth, what was that about?
When I was 7 years old, I used to watch a lot of the beauty pageants, the Miss Texas, Miss America, the Miss World. And I was stunned at the few African-American women that were contestants.
Okay.
They never vied for the crown of Miss Texas, Miss America, but they always make they place fourth, a good place at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the only way to change that is to start my own beauty pageant.
Okay.
So I formed a board, which made up of some of my family members.
Okay.
Matter of fact,
okay.
My aunt Charlotte Ragsdale, Diane Ragsdale's sister.
Okay.
My nephew Steven and Maxine, a few more people were board members.
Okay.
And we became a nonprofit under 501c3.
Uh-huh.
So we started Miss Juneteenth Scholarship Beauty Pageant in 1989.
Okay.
Pageant was held for young ladies 18 to 25 at the Fairport.
One of those buildings out there, the museum, the African American Museum.
Yes, the State House.
Hall of State.
Mm-hmm. And we had at least the first pageant was minimum of 500 people.
Wow.
About 1,000 people. And the purpose for having the pageant or what to let young women know that they didn't have to lose their self-identity, that of their culture, to be a part of our passion, that you could wear your cookie hair, your dreadlocks, your braids. You could be a full-figured African-American queen and still participate, because this wasn't just about the outside view. It was about the inside. It was about the mentality. So we provide
scholarships
of high. And some of our major sponsors were, number one, the Dallas Weekly, Cheryl Smith. They hung in there with us until I stopped doing it, and that's another story.
Okay.
For 6 years, we had teams that saluted the young ladies with their sports and their evening gowns. So, and then we decided at that point, let's for one time do a Mr. Juneteenth.
No, you
so
did.
We did a Mr. Juneteenth.
Now, about what year was that?
That was still here in Dallas at one of the venues. I can't think. We went to the
Subway. About what year?
Mr. Juneteenth, I think it was around 90. 92, 93.
Okay. Wow.
And so, when you want to change something, then you do something.
Okay.
You make it happen. So that's what I did. If they had the Miss Juneteenth in Tyler, Texas, Miss Juneteenth. Matter of fact, it's just. Show the Miss Juneteenth movie on television. Al Wash was the starter person of the Miss Juneteenth festivities back in the day. And so Miss Juneteenth received not only scholarships, but she received a year driving a convertible car from the car gets a young Chevrolet.
Oh my God.
She went to performed Renee Sasha, Russ Carr, Skip Murphy, Valerie Moore were MCs, Al Gibson, and then Mayor Strong.
Oh my God. Now, here's a question in chat. It says, was Priscilla Evans in that pageant 1 year? And we know Priscilla Evans is the daughter of outstanding Baptist minister in Dallas, Tony Evans, Reverend Tony Evans, and his late wife. Do you remember if Priscilla Evans was in that pageant 1 year?
Of the National Association of Black Journalists. So she's a
powerful young lady. And all of those names that you were calling up, the mayor and Diane and Charlotte Ragsdale and Renee Seiler and, those powerful names. Call some of those names again. Call some of those names again. Who helped?
Renee Seiler.
There's some sponsors. You mentioned sponsors here.
Tobacco Company, the Morning News Channel 8, Sears, Johnson Products.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
the Dallas Weekly. You mentioned the Dallas Weekly. Right, right.
Come in there asking them to sponsor.
Right.
And also, you, Miss Way, Normal Way, you supported us the entire time when you were with the Dallas Morning News.
Wonderful, wonderful. I think Marva has joined us. Marva, should we invite you? Okay, tell us hello, Marva. Okay, I guess she's it's an exciting day today. Let me just ask her, does she want us to invite her in? Okay. We're still rocking along here. Still rocking along.
Same. Now, this was in 1975, so the horse box that I have, I know some of you ladies out there can relate to what I'm getting ready to say, and I'm going to make this short.
Okay.
I was dating someone, and he saw my horse box, but didn't know the history behind it. So he was trying to separate my picture from the guy that's on the horse box. So he split his head, and so I had to put it back together. Okay? Had it been in 2021, he would have been slashed in half by me for doing that. Okay? Well, maybe I shouldn't say that, but y'all know where I'm coming from. Okay? I want to keep it real. So I will. Now, in 1973, the candy box, King's Candy, was in all of the Skillings drugstores. A lot of you don't know that Skillings drugstore on Lancaster Road, they delivered the candy boxes there, and they went fast. And so, 2 years before that, Norma, I was in 1973 years old. I was your 1973 Jet Central Bowl.
Wow.
I was a bowl with Willie Mays, who retired from baseball, on the cover. And you know, any black folks house you went to, you know they had the Jet magazines around.
Okay, what? That's inside. That's inside. Okay, now move it over the other way. Oh, there you go. Now angle it down toward the pool. Oh, look at you, my Smith lady. This bikini beauty. You wear the Jack magazine centerfold in your bikini. What was that like?
Oh, I didn't know I had made. I didn't know that I was chosen as one of the month JIT centerfold until I got a call from Tom John. And Tom John said, "Everybody, Dallas, wake up! We got a homegirl from Dallas, Texas, Linda Radfield, JIT centerfold." And I told Tom just before he called me, I had gotten a call, Norma, at 12 o'clock at night from a man said that he was the producer of Creative Writers Production in California.
Right.
He saw my picture. He was looking at my picture in JIT, and I said, "California, things come out first in California." The accomplishment that helped me along the way because there was no one but God. I lost my mother when I was 23. When she was 15. And my brother, Rodney, was 11. He's 39.
Okay.
My mother depended on me, and I promised her, but that was 11 years old. And when he graduated from high school, I went to Black and Clark Funeral Home. I told Mr. Clark that I was picking my brother, and he was coming in for an interview. And I said, don't tell him that I'm coming in here. But if it's within your power, would you please give my brother a job?
Yeah.
To close this moment, my brother went to Mortuary Institute, I think at the age of 20.
Yeah.
And he was with something like this.
Wow.
That made me feel good that I did what my mother asked me to do. I've never had children. God used me. He said, okay, I have something for you. You're going to raise your brother. So I put that one of my high points.
Oh, wow. That you know what, back then, you talked about being a mentor in the Dallas County Sheriff's Department, working with the incarcerated individuals, particularly, I'm sure, multiracial, I'm sure. But it looked like that was kind of instilled in you decades earlier when you opened the door. And I get the sense that you felt like you weren't walking in that door alone. It seems to me like you felt on the business because you wanted to represent the spirit of your mom who had left you to be an influence and a door open for your younger siblings. And even at that point, decades ago, you were that better then, don't you think?
Yes. And I must say, the other half point was when I met my husband, James Sanders, and God has blessed us to this day to be married 31 years.
Wow. Okay, now, I got to ask you this. You opened the door, so I'm going to ask you. Please, Bob Mueller, to young married, and even people who have been married a while and who be going through work. What do you think allowed you and James to come through the rest of the
marriage?
Okay.
We have to accept the other person's, let's just say, likes and dislikes. If he likes to play tennis and you don't, then you have to give in a little bit and play tennis.
Okay.
You like to be, go to the, have a brunch or something with your girlfriend every now and then. He needs to allow you that freedom to go and be with your girlfriend because when you come together, you should not lose your self-identity.
Oh.
And you should look for keys. You should look for things like the red light. Someone, for example, when I first met my husband, before we got married, the first day that we went somewhere, I think we went to visit his parents.
Okay.
He asked me what was I waiting on when we was in the car. And I said, I'm waiting on you to open up the car door.
You were in your 20s? You were in your 20s?
No, I was in my 30s at the time.
Okay, at that point, you were in your 30s. What are you waiting on? You said, I'm waiting on you to open the car door.
His attitude.
were your childhood wishes? What did you envision yourself becoming as a child? When you look ahead to your adult years, what did you want to be as a kid?
As a kid, I actually wanted to be an actress.
Okay.
But, you know, of course, things change. And the only, the reason why I got into more or less, and read about Candy Bar, the stripper of Candy Bar during that group at the time. She was a stripper, went to this club in South Dallas. And he told me, you see this picture on the wall? He said, well, I just want you to know one thing, young lady. Whenever you knock on somebody's door and selling cable TV, when you walk through the door, you make sure that you observe your surroundings. Look straight ahead. Don't show fear, because people will fear you. When he told me that, I said, believe me, after he told me that, and I continued to knock doors and sell cable television, I put my application in to become a law enforcement officer because I want to be a servant to help, you know, the people and
walk through those doors. That one really was on the other side, but I guess that you still were being guided by my fear. Somebody can argue with me about that, and again, you think you have been being guided by a power that is greater than yourself. And so I commend you, Linda Raskin Sanders. Linda Raskin Sanders. Now, before we go, I want you to wrap up any other points that we've not talked about that you want to tell our audience about that will help them to remember this visit with you today, a powerful this visit from this African-American queen who has persisted and made it through all of these experiences. I really know it well. That girl was reading, but she got out there and walked that road. So many other points that we hit.
Okay, I'd just like to close with the insurrection, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to give my point on that short.
Okay.
I want people to understand that, you know, when the right wing felt that the votes were miscounted, they didn't get what they wanted, they didn't win the election, that acted like spoiled brats to me.
Okay. Okay.
But what we have to understand, by acting that way, they took it upon themselves to go to the Capitol, storm in the Capitol,
right,
and destroy things which can be replaced. But the the military commanders were marching, they say, left, right, left, right.
Okay.
Left first. Right. And when we take our, they say, we want to take our country back. This is my last statement. I'm closing with this. When they say, take our country back, no. Have you all ever heard of the song, the saying, our country is the thing.
Yes,
country.
Okay.
Tis the thing. Sweet land. Sweet promised land. Their land.
I'm with you. Very good for it. Very good for it. Thank you. That's, again, when you speak, anybody listening can tell that your thoughts come from deep within. You do not
you do not think it depends like you did this. Okay. Very good. All right. Send Rebecca at some point in time to get more of her insight and more of her sharing of her very strong and powerful experiences in life. So, Linda, you can go ahead and sign now. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Normal Wave and the Texas Metro.
Can you hear me?
Yes, and no, thank you all so much for giving me this opportunity.
Okay, I think I have lost my sound. All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I don't know, but I'm gonna try going back into this. This is crazy, and I know people sure. Just think that I just don't pay.
Let's just try to wonder what all is this
now
wonderful individual experience who has lived a century. Plus five. She
yeah,
has lived a century. Plus five. And
May
first March, you may be 8:05 a.m. 105 birthday
celebration.
McKenzie. So we all want to be there too.
I'm a leader.
To share that
I'm a leader right
with
you. Her.
Now, we've got a little bit of time left before we go. Kind of look back on some topics that we here at Texas Metro News dealt with over the last year. We know now that we're in the year 2021, and we made it through 2020. Did you think we would? I mean, every kind of rock that could have been thrown at us in 2020 was thrown. But we dodged all the way. We're here. We're here to tell our survival story. Hey, look at this news. And we reviewed the impact, the social impact of the life of George Floyd. And we talked about Foster Sam Cook, who promised in his hopeful lyrics and that haunting of verbal condition a change. Change is gonna come. Oh yeah, yes it will. Yes it will. And by that same uplifting song, we can remember and go back in time before former President Number 44, Barack Obama, became President of the United States at first. African-American descendants of Africa to hold that he gave the nation a hopeful world vision for change and a better America.
in the best-selling book, The Audacity. Oh, for your day, death, after the soul and power, and heartlessly, on Minneapolis police officer, Derek Chauvin. Floyd's 6-year-old daughter, known as Jeannie Floyd, gave the world a protection owl declaration. No! No, hit of that. Just know them, right? I mean, you know, they made a statement, and young Gigi proclaimed the statement at all of these pastors. She said, "Daddy changed the world." Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Think of that little 6-year-old who lost her father after the school house to heart disease. Who was acting like he was just whistling Dixie, eating crackers, you know. We kind of took a look at some of the things that came about as a result of that terrible incident. And there were global changes. There were reactions. Look at the people of all levels that were began determined restructuring their deep thoughts and operations related to racial issues. This has not happened before, even with Malcolm X, Malika Shabazz. Tell me that office and life that they have joined me and we witnessed it. It took that to go around the globe and change business, change political position, change education, change media, change retail stores. Everybody that decides their part. Show that they were not integrated with that power of so we kind of looked at, we examined some of the changes. Okay, one of the first ones that people demonstrating on our streets was on death. Where is that first? The march across the Edmonton Bridge, it was kind of in December, but this point, reaction was, we had not seen that level of diversity increase. So I can recall that you want to argue with me at some point, do it again, but it was different. Now, that was one thing. You do another thing, and that changed the world. Demonstrations in foreign countries were happening. All of the other and all of those cases had their own demonstrations. This one African American man in Minneapolis had come across called the chokehold and the use of excessive force. I mean, we can demonstrate screaming and going to police station vans and stuff like that for problems to change. That's just the problems that these Illinois really made policy change. This was those things with that. Another change was the more white actually began to discuss whether or not white privilege did exist. There was a strong, emotional stance of not accepting the remote possibility that white privilege existed. But now, there's still consciousness and still armed white refuse to accept that white privilege, that they do have the upper hand in getting to defend widespread. Another
The ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. when you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. They don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. No, 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 no. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, man. Just you and me.
Thank you.